What is going on, everyone? Welcome into the Sports Objective. We appreciate you tuning in whenever and however you're listening. You know, whether it's TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, you name it, you can probably find us there. Also, be sure to like and follow the show on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube, and be sure to click that notification bell so when we post new content that you are alerted on your device. Today we're talking East Carolina Pirate football. We'll first hear from Tim Doust. He is the new special teams coordinator for ECU. He's most recently was at Sam Houston State, spent a short time with the Bearcats. Prior to that, he had been the defensive coordinator at a couple of MAC programs in Ball State and Western Michigan. Also spent 3 seasons as the special teams coordinator up at Syracuse in the ACC. So we'll have that for you during the first half of the program. And then on the back half, we will listen to Autry Denson. You'll hear an excellent conversation about a half hour with Coach Denson. He is the head coach of the Charleston Southern Bucks. The Bucks out of the Big South will be visiting Dowdy Ficklin Stadium on September 25th, 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN Plus. So we'll hear what Coach Denson has to say about his ball club as well as discuss his time at Notre Dame. 2 of those years he played for Lou Holtz, and then the last 2 for Bob Davie. But right now, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get to that conversation with East Carolina's special teams coordinator and defensive end outside linebackers coach, Tim Doust.
Well, Bubba, as always, this is summertime, which means that it's time now to start thinking about college football, and we're very excited for the first time to have one of our new coaches at ECU.
Absolutely, Dave. Last week we had a lot of fun catching up with defense coordinator Blake Carroll. Today we have with us special teams coordinator, defensive end, and outside linebackers coach Tim Doust. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, good to have you guys. Thanks, appreciate it.
No doubt. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a special day with your wife's birthday, so appreciate you coming on the show. And you can't keep mama happy, then nobody's happy. So appreciate you so much for carving some time out for us this morning. Very happy to have you on. Obviously, to have you on the staff. We've heard a lot of good things about you here. And first, before we get diving into football, you've had a few months now to be in Greenville. What's your impression of Greenville and East Carolina?
You know, my wife and 3 kids have transitioned really well. It was they're getting of age where I had to do some explaining when we picked up the family. But this town has been great. The staff, the people on the university, our players, it's been a very welcoming place. A little bit of everything here, plenty of good places to go eat and have a good time. And my kids have enjoyed the new friends they've made in the local schools. So, and I tell you, the big impression on me when I came in town before my family is that this community is full throttle ECU Pirates. So they're just anxious for us to get back on the field, fill up that stadium, and win some games.
No doubt about it, Coach. When you look at, obviously, we've had a tough time here in Greenville, and very happy to have Coach Houston here. We obviously were big fans of Coach Houston even before he came to Greenville. What's it like working with Coach Houston?
Well, I think you've got the right impression of him. I think this community and the university has got a lot to be excited about. Things are headed quickly in the right direction, and we're excited to get back in the fall. It's been exactly what I thought it was going to be. He made a great impression on me when we met a few years back, and very straightforward. We believe in the same things philosophically and how players should be treated and how programs should be run and how football games should be won. You know, play strong defense and be physical and demand greatness out of kids, and they've bought into that as well. So things are going well so far.
Coach, as you take a look at things, and you know your path to East Carolina, and your previous stops, and you spent 6 years as a coordinator, 3 as a special teams coordinator at Syracuse from 2013 to 2015, and then defensive coordinator stops at Ball State and then also Western Michigan. So just talk about that experience, and obviously now you're on the defensive staff with tremendous defensive coordinator in Blake Carroll.
Yeah, you know every year and every stop's been a learning experience for me. Figure out the best ways and get around new coaches to learn new things and new ideas to implement into your own philosophy. And that hasn't changed here. Got a great chance to be a special teams coordinator at Syracuse under a great friend of mine, Scott Schaefer. And I thought we did a really good job you know, tried to do the best we could to stay in football games in a high-powered ACC at that time with Clemson and Florida State and Louisville and those likes. A great opportunity for me to grow as a young coach, and then a chance to run the defenses at Ball State and Western Michigan was a lot of fun for me. And now here at East Carolina, take those lessons I've learned and move forward and add to Coach Houston's staff.
No doubt, Coach. One of the things I've been really impressed with is obviously looking ahead to the season and looking at the depth chart, so to speak, starting out with one of your duties as special teams coordinator. You got to be really happy with the depth we have there starting out with special teams.
Certainly am. You know, I think a dynamic return man, it's need, is going to be a challenge for every team we face. So I'm glad that other coaches and players are going to have to turn on the film on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and have to worry about how to keep the ball out of his hands or limit his touches. So we're excited to do the other side of it and get him the ball in space and see what he can do. But then, you know, some new competition coming in as kicking positions and long snapping positions, but a talented group of kids to do the specialty spots. But as coaches upgraded this roster, what gets overlooked is the great players that are going to be filling the other 10 spots around those specialties. So I expect some really good coverage units and return units out there because the talent in this program just continues to increase.
No doubt, Coach, with looking as far as special teams with the punter being a senior, the experience of John Young, what does he bring to the table?
Yeah, you know, John has been a steady force in the room. You know, his experience, talking to me about things that he sees and feels and his routines, he goes through things. But also with the new kids that have been through there, it's nice to have a guy that's been in the fire before, is battle tested and done a nice job. And he has worked tremendously hard throughout the winter, the spring, and early summer to really perfect his craft because he has high expectations of himself, at times a little hard on himself. So we expect big things out of John. And then to pass that work ethic onto the young guys, the other long snappers and kickers that are in the program, because he's a very, very intelligent young man, and he really knows his craft. He's not just punting, but kicking and snapping as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things, Coach, I was going to bring up as far as the punting side of things with John Young and Luke Larson, having two guys that both averaged over 41 yards per punt last year. That has to be a nice luxury. And obviously Luke Larson in that season finale against SMU showed that he can, you know, pull it down on the rugby punt and do what he needed to do with his legs to get first down.
Yeah, the Aussie called his number and got a first down. What I've watched and been told, it really, really got the game going in the right direction for the Pirates. So that was a good move by John. But that experience really puts me at ease going into fall camp that we've got depth at that position and anywhere to go south.
No doubt, Coach. When it comes to talk about the kicker situation, I know with Jake Verity leaving and being a senior, moving on, and I know it looks like at the depth chart that the freshman is it Owen Dapper.
Well, Owen did a good job in the spring. I was told he showed a lot of promise in the fall, and he certainly continued that into the spring and so far into this summer. Owen's a good kid, got a good personality. Things don't faze him. Strong leg, showed that he'll be a solid kicker for us. But Coach and I talked, and his goal and our goal throughout this program is to create quality competition throughout. And we've done that with some incoming freshmen that are now on campus and are going to push Owen for that kicking spot, be it field goals and or kickoff length margins. A very strong leg. I mean, very, very strong leg, talented kid. That's going to give Owen a run for his money. Carson Smith from over there in South Point. He's done a nice job early on here. I hear good marks about him from his peers. So we're excited to see what they can do at the kicking position.
Coach, I wanted to ask you as far as the kickoff returns. One of the things I love about Mike Houston is it seems like he's aggressive all over the place. Speaking of special teams, we love, obviously, a great kid that was a walk-on against a scholarship, a North Carolina kid in Raleigh with Tyler Snead. I take it he's going to be running back at kickoffs.
Well, I think when you got a guy like that, how many times can we get him to touch the football? I let DK handle the offense, but on special teams, then the great thing about Coach Houston, be it Snead or anybody else, we're going to put our best players out there to help the football program get in position to win football games. And Snead will be back there getting as many touches as we can.
You take a look, Tyler Snead, kickoff returns for touchdowns against USF in 2019, Temple a season ago. And then the Pirates also blocked a punt for a touchdown in each of those seasons, Old Dominion and 2019, and then last year down at Georgia State. And so obviously this is a program that's not unaccustomed to having a lot of success on the special teams side, and just talk about how you're building on that moving into 2021.
Oh, you guys trying to create some pressure for me, it sounds like.
Yeah, not at all.
No, the great thing here, and when Coach and I talked about the special teams role, it starts at the top. I mean, he's invested as the head football coach, and the investments, you know, is shown through time, and time is created for us as coaches to meet on it, as players to meet with the coaches, and then on the football field, he set the time aside in practice for us to be fundamentally sound, and then count on us as coaches to go out there, get a scheme where our kids can execute at a full speed, and it's working out well for us. I think it's going to be an exciting fall.
And, Coach, you talk about the very thing about you just previously mentioned about giving your team a chance to win. One of the things about this program, I know, is we're heading in the right direction under Coach Houston, and special teams is a great way. We're going to be in, it looks like, having a chance to win every single game this year. Obviously, in previous years before Coach Mike Houston, we didn't have that. And you can think about there can be a possession or two with special teams that can make the difference of winning and losing the game, right?
Yeah, and our kids believe that and know that. And they know the difference in winning and losing is very small. So, you know, as the special teams, yep, you want to win your phase in the football game. But we're getting to the point now where I don't think it's appropriate anymore to just hold serve in special teams. I think we can tilt the football game in our favor with the athletes that we have, not just at the special against need as a returner, but as I mentioned, you know, the depth we're creating at wide receiver, you know, tight end, safety, linebacker, and some of the skilled defensive ends and things like that, where I think we can really get things going in our favor and create big plays, and that will be the expectation.
Coach, before we move over and talk defense, I did have one more special teams question for you. I know this is kind of just a coach-to-coach, program-to-program philosophy, but you know, in terms of punting, it seems as though the Coffin Corner has really gone by the wayside in a lot of places in recent years. So what are your thoughts on that versus, you know, having a guy that can hang it up and get down there and down it?
Yeah, the punting trend has really become – those kids will see them do punting in college or the pros now. They put the nose of the football down in those short field situations and are really able to, you know, pull the pitching wedge out for a golf analogy and put that ball up there, and they can really control the ball, and when it lands, to spin back. And the efficiency from the pros on down in those red zone punt situations has really increased in the last 10 to 15 years because of this new punting trend. So instead of, you know, trying to get along that sideline and see where it goes out of bounds, give yourself a little more grass to hang the ball up there, and if it does land, a chance that it's going to roll backwards. And those kids have done a tremendous job of perfecting that punt. Luke Larson is extremely strong at it from his days as a rugby player, being able to pinpoint the ball and put it where it wants to be. What he tells me, pass the ball, is what he continues to call that, which I got to get that clear to him. That's not a pass when you hit it with your foot. But and then John is getting better and better and knows that's a weapon he needs to put in his pocket moving forward. That's where the trend is going, the philosophical. Just give yourself a little more grass and then hang that ball up there and let it spin back.
Moving over and talking some defense, Coach, obviously one of the things that has been missing in recent years is some depth in the trenches and also putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So just talk about some of the guys you have in your room. Jeremy Lewis making the move over from tight end. He played on the defensive side in high school. And then you also have Chad Stevens, who's a promising young talent.
Yeah, there's a room full of young guys. I don't think there's an old guy in the group. I think we'll be looking at those faces for a couple of years. It was nice to coach to. I got there and Jeremy was already moved, so that didn't have to be a discussion. Jeremy is the talented kids we have on the football team. Find the right fit for him. I think he kind of went to tight end out of necessity early in his career, but he's a defensive-minded kid. He plays fast. He's physical. Now we just got to continue to keep his body in shape. Just talk to Jeremy constantly about building his machine up for this fall because we're going to put him out there in situations to make plays for us. And he showed in the spring that he has that type of ability to be that stand-up. We call the rush outside linebacker for us, where sometimes he's coming off the edge and he has the ability athletic ability to play in space and play some zone coverage for us as well. And Chad Stevens, and he will play a lot of that position. And then, we're not afraid to dip into, there's more depth is growing in the linebacker position to look at kids to play, to come over and help us off the edge to increase our athleticism in certain situations. There into the body at the rush spot, Manny Hickman had a really good spring, has developed into a leader in our room, doing a really good job at the field end position. Kareem Stinson, Elijah Robinson, Trayvon Freshwater, those kids are going to fill the roles behind him, but also, always keeping an eye out there and try to add a new name or two to the program as well.
And Coach, one of the things that I'm a defensive guy, I love defense, and one of the things I've noticed is this is probably the most depth we've had at defense since going all the way back to 2015, a good number of years ago. What are your thoughts being obviously a D1 coach as far as our depth we have overall with defense?
Well, I think the trend is in college football, and it is certainly true. I've tried to explain to the kids that one guy no longer takes 80 snaps on defense. I think they have a great defense. You have to be able to play 17, 18, 19 guys and not just a few snaps. Got that mindset in the room where those kids know it's all out full throttle, 3, 4, 5 snaps, and you're going playing whatever the offense puts on us, and then we're ready to rotate and get guys out there. And then when you're fresh, ready to go back in there, you get back in there. So it'll be a constant rotation, especially up front, to keep those kids fresh, to let them also. I think it just creates a mindset in the room that if they put the work in during the week, that they're going to get an opportunity to make plays on Saturday. And those kids earn those opportunities through the offseason and through the practice season to get ready to go. So the kids know that if they put in the work and they've earned it, they're going to get an opportunity. And I think that helps create fresh bodies to just, because I do expect us to get the quarterback out of his comfort zone this fall.
Coach, what about as far as outside linebacker? Wanted to talk about that. That's been a position as far as linebackers in the past has been kind of thin in that room, but it looks like things are starting to turn in our favor this year.
Yeah, we have, I think they played a good number of guys there last year, so it was nice to turn on the film. And then we added Jeremy to the film, but Chad has played. Trey Terry has played in the past. Jeremy really does a nice job adding a lot of athleticism, a little more length to the position. He's learning the nuances and doing a good job. And Coach Harrell's got some depth at inside linebacker, and we'll certainly use some of those guys if we need to, whether it's Xavier Smith or Miles, and get them out there on the edge of the defense as well. But that will be to create more speed on the field. That's what offenses are doing. So defenses are obviously forced to, in a lot of ways, match personnel with the people with those guys.
No question about it. One of the questions I had, Coach, is I know that this has been an unbelievable time for you guys as far as coaching and with Coach Houston with the month of June, as we're wrapping up the month of June now. Can you talk about, I know you can't talk about names, obviously, but recruiting-wise, it seems like you guys have done a really nice job. And I'm wondering, have you had any sleep in the month of June?
Oh, Coach does a good job. We're organized through it, but June was, buckle up and let's go to work. And we saw that going into it. And, we built up the spring to line up to have a good June. And I think momentum is a word that keeps getting used around this program, but I think that's accurate to say in recruiting as well. The momentum from the SMU game, the momentum through the spring and the workouts for our kids, and it's transitioned into recruiting as well. A lot of positive vibes in our building. Our players have done a tremendous job when families have come through, and being very honest and transparent with those folks, and selling what we have here. We've got great people and great facilities and a great university. And I think a lot of families have seen that here in June. And I think it just continues to be an uptick through the rest of the summer as we battle for some high-end kids against some top-level programs.
Coach, obviously, and going into your first season in the program, just talk about, right out of the gates, you have a huge matchup with App State and Charlotte. Everybody knows anything about college football knows how good the Mountaineers have been in recent years. Tremendous challenge there. They really love to run the football. And then home opener against the SEC opponent in South Carolina. And I know off the air we were talking about how great it is to be back to normal and just have hopefully close to 50,000 at Dowdy-Ficklin.
Close to 50. I'm told 51, 52. I expect it to be a bunch.
Absolutely.
Of
Yeah, standing room only.
That's right. That's what I expect. I saw a little bit of that with baseball, what this community can do. So I'm excited to experience through the football lens this fall. But yeah, no, the schedule makers wanted to challenge us in year three of Coach Houston's stay here. App State's a tremendous program that we have a lot of respect for. But we're excited for that opportunity. Let's go out and do it. You know, they run the football. And if you're a defensive football coach, no greater challenge to who you are as a player and as a coach to go out there over there in Charlotte and stand up and stop the run. It would be a great, great challenge to see where we are early in the season to measure our toughness. I mean, that's how you measure toughness on the defense is can you stand up and stop the run? And that's what App State's going to try to do, and that's what we have to do a tremendous job of stopping. There's no secrets about that. So we really look forward to that. It's really a personal challenge when somebody says they're going to run the football on you.
No question about it, Coach. I had a question. One of the things that Pirate Nation wants really bad and how we can make it happen, I know it's above your pay grade, but can you talk about the importance of, speaking of recruiting, and an indoor practice facility? What would that mean to East Carolina and your program?
Well, it's a recruiting standpoint, yes, you know, because to be able to show your facilities and your commitment to football and winning and moving to the highest levels. But it's really a sheer, you know, functionality where, you know, you guys know here in Eastern North Carolina, there's a good chance every afternoon I figured out it might storm.
Right.
So the reality is keep your knees bent because you might be inside, you might be outside and adjust practice times. But it will allow our team to train without interruption, with some consistency to scheduling, another facility for our kids in the off season to kick in, to punt in, to run routes in, to throw balls on, to get individual work in on their own and really take their games to the next level. Because football, you know, like every other sport, it's year round in training. And sometimes now you're taking the weather variable out of it. And as beautiful as Eastern North Carolina is, there, you know, with the beautiful sunshine and being this close to the water, we do get a lot of storms. So the reality of it is, it is something that would be a huge, huge benefit to our program. Yes, in recruiting, to show another shiny piece with our beautiful weight room and offices and locker and stadium, to add that to this, that, hey, we are a football school and it's certainly trending in that direction. So, you know, with that, it's way above my pay grade. It's my job to give the kids, put them in position, and give them a chance to win. And I found out through the years we can win football games, a lot of good things happen.
No question about it. And, Coach, before we let you go, obviously we talked about in the beginning of the interview about places in Greenville. What places have you had a chance to eat? You like me. I guess you like to eat out and love to eat. So what have you found around Greenville so far?
Okay, so far, like, hey, I like to ask a lot of locals, and Coach has got a good crew of them. You know, we got DK and Shank on staff, and Dale Steele, the commissioner. They can tell you all the great places in town. And Coach Houston gets out quite a bit as well. So, let's see, we like the Dap House down there. Dickinson Avenue's done a great job down there. All of those spots down there. What is it? The Burger Bar down there. The Dap House has been great for us. Main Mill down here in Winterville. We'll probably end up there tonight at some point for my wife's birthday. That's a great spot down there. Those have been, I would say, right off the top or so, probably our three favorite places to eat right there. But there's other things to do as well for some adult activities that we don't need to go into detail about.
That's very true. Coach, we want to get everybody on board, and certainly those that haven't done so, please go ahead and get your season tickets, 1-800-ECU, ecupirates.com. You can order your season tickets. Let's have Dowdy Ficklin rocking this summer. Well, definitely this fall for sure. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it, and look forward to having you back on again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great summer.
There you have the thoughts of East Carolina's first-year special teams coordinator and also defensive end and outside linebackers coach Tim Dowse, as the Pirates special teams will seek to continue to produce big plays in the 2021 season. The Pirates, like I mentioned in that interview, had kick returns for touchdowns by Tyler Snead in each of the last two seasons, and also blocked punts for touchdowns in each of the last two seasons, and then also had several other big plays that flipped field and created nice field position for the Pirate offense. Now, let's go ahead and go to that interview that we had with Autry Denson, the Charleston Southern head coach, who was Notre Dame's all-time leading rusher back in the 90s, and 2 years for Lou Holtz, a couple for Bob Davey. ran for over 4,300 yards and 43 touchdowns in his days with the Fighting Irish from 1995 to 1999. And let's go to that conversation with Coach Denson, Charleston Southern's head coach, right now.
Looking forward to obviously a big, big season for the Pirates. And Bubba, we've got a very special guest with us right now.
Absolutely, Dave. Game four for the Pirates this year, 6 o'clock on September 25th, and the Charleston Southern Bucks will be coming to Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. And right now we have the head coach, and Notre Dame's all-time leading rusher, Autry Denson. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me.
No doubt, Coach. Looking forward to the opportunity to hopefully we meet you in person, but glad to have you right here. Summertime. So talk about certainly with recruiting. I mean, this has been one of the craziest times. I know you guys had spring football. Let's talk about that. How did that go, and how different from, you're a football guy, how different was that? Normally when we talk about spring football, it's practices, but you guys had games, right?
Yes, sir. It was, in light of everything that happened, it was a blessing to even get our guys on the field. So we were very thankful for that. And then like anything, man, we took advantage of the opportunity to compete. And so, as you talked about, different than normal springs, you would be just that, you know, your practices, you against each other. But what we were able to do, man, is get a much more in-depth evaluation, because we were playing outside competition and we played really good competition, which helps as well. So we got 4 games in. So now what we've been able to do is take that information and those evaluations and really now train this summer with more intentionality, knowing who the guys that are already, you know, kind of knowing how guys are going to respond to a live action, because we got a chance to see that, and working our freshmen that are reported in, again, with that same mindset of filling those gaps that we saw needed to be filled in the spring.
Coach, I'm going to segue off that and then circle back around to Charleston Southern football, but you talk about playing those 4 games in the spring. I've been wanting to ask an FCS head coach this, and here's my opportunity. There's been a lot of talk over the years of moving FCS football or even Group of 5 football to the spring to give it more exposure, or to let the Power 5 have all the spotlight. And I think that's the stupidest idea on the planet. After doing it because you had to because of COVID, what do you think of playing football in the spring versus fall?
You know what? This is just my opinion, but football is meant to be played in the fall. Now, there has been conversation about, you know, doing inter-squad scrimmages or things of that. I mean, we're doing, scrimmages against other people in the spring. And I am a fan of that. I know we've talked about that, because everybody has the same issue in the spring. I don't care if you're Power 5, if you're FCS, is that you don't have the depth. Your seniors have left and your freshmen haven't reported, so you don't have as much depth in the spring. And I think for us at an FCS level, getting a chance to play, I mean, we're blessed to be around South Carolina, Clemson. It may even be an additional revenue stream for us to where we can have an additional spring game against someone who's a little bit bigger, get the exposure, but you get much better in evaluation in the spring, kind of like we did this spring, because you're playing against somebody else. So I'm in fan of that, but no, fall is where ball is meant to be played.
Coach, we agree 100%. Fall is where college football is meant to be played, and I have often thought that these spring football games, South Carolina, Clemson, East Carolina, all have these FBS programs. If we were playing against an FCS or even a Division II or Division III opponent, to give everybody a chance to get practice against somebody else in a scrimmage, mm-hmm. for a spring football game, like you said, it would be additional revenue, mm-hmm. for FCS and lower universities. And, you know, then you get a chance to hit somebody else and actually see, mm-hmm. what you need to improve on.
Yeah, I agreed.
Coach, and also to add to that, it would also, if you move I want to get your take on this, being an FCS coach, wouldn't it hurt you as far as revenue-wise if you play the, you know, the Power 5 schools, you play the Group of 5 schools to get the money? Wouldn't that hurt you as well as if you're playing FCS versus FCS in the spring and you're not getting the money that you would in the fall?
No doubt. That is definitely that's part of the business model, right, of FCS. So, yeah, it definitely – and you saw that in the spring, right, because you did have those teams to play. And that's exciting too. I mean, you want to see really good games and you want to see, you know, that cross different levels playing each other and things of that nature. But, yeah, your revenue stream is a big deal when you come to the model of the FCS.
And plus the opportunity to pull off the upset. Now, we hope we don't see one in Greenville this fall. But it's always exciting when you see the FCS teams upsetting the FBS opponents, particularly if it's a Power Five. That makes it extra special.
Yes, sir. I will not comment or agree or disagree with your comment on that.
Now, Coach, taking a look at things before we dive into your time there at Charleston Southern, you had the opportunity to, like I mentioned, the open, you know, play for Notre Dame, had a very successful career there, 2 years for Lou Holtz and also two for Bob Davey. So just talking about playing for those guys, obviously Coach Holtz is so well-known, tremendous motivator and, you know, organizer. But just touch on him and, you know, how he's impacted you as a coach and then also just your path into coaching.
You know what? I'll touch on Coach Holtz, and I can't say impacted. I have to say continue to impact because we're still in contact. That's one of the things about when you play for Lou Holtz. It is the most challenging time of your life as a college athlete, but it also is the most rewarding moving forward because once you go through his 2 years of hazing for me, you got a lifetime advocate in him and a teacher and a mentor and all of those things. So it's well worth it. When you start talking about just how he continues to impact me is that going to Notre Dame afforded me the opportunity, in addition to my high school coach, and even when I was in the NFL, I've been really blessed to have some really good mentors. You're talking about at the University of Notre Dame, not only Lou Holtz, but, you know, it's my Greg Madison. You're talking about Charlie Strong. You're talking about Urban Meyer. You're talking about Dan Mullen came through there as a GA. You're talking about Tabor Johnson being drafted to Coach Dungy in the NFL. So how it impacts me is that they've sown so many good lessons into me that I have the tools I need now as a head coach, and I just pull the ones that I need off at the time, depending on what I need. My path into coaching now was totally different, and me and Coach Meyer probably he probably more than anybody has a lot to do with how I got into coaching, him and Charlie Strong. Because I never wanted to go into coaching. When I retired from the NFL, I actually went into the financial industry and had an 8-person team at Merrill Lynch. So I did that for over 10 years. And it wasn't until I accepted my calling to go into ministry that God led me back to sports. And so my first job was a head coaching job that I never interviewed for. So, you know, just further evidence that it was God pulling the strings and not me. But all those years that I spent away from coaching, Charlie Strong and Urban Meyer would stay just in my ear about how I needed to be in coaching. And how I needed to do it. And when I decided to make the jump after 1 year being a high school head coach to college, the very first person I called was Coach Meyer, and he walked me through the process of how things were going to go. And I still rely upon him and Coach Strong to this day a lot.
Coach, that's a heck of a coaching tree there to lean on. Obviously with Urban Meyer, Charlie Strong, and then Lou Holtz. But I got to ask you, you've probably been asked this when you mentioned Lou Holtz, because so many people do. Do you do a Lou Holtz?
You know what? It's probably not a very good one. And I'm going to tell you why. I was really blessed. Coach Holtz is really easy. From this standpoint, he's very much like Jimmy Johnson. So when I played for Jimmy Johnson, the first thing he said to me was that I have favorites, and your job is to become one of them. How you do that is you make plays. And so I was blessed to play early at Notre Dame. So although Coach Holtz has extremely high standards and nobody gets a free pass, I became one of his guys fairly early. And at that point for him, I mean, it's a different dynamic. I can do a Lou Holtz impression, but I would say that for some of my teammates because they do a much better job.
Okay. All right.
Coach, I have a question regarding your alma mater, Notre Dame. I promise we'll get to your football club in just a second.
No problem.
One of the things I'm interested in being your coach and former player at Notre Dame is the whole expansion of the college football playoff and the fact that Notre Dame would, being not a part of a conference, how they may be left out of the top four. I just want to get your take on that. And I'm a fan of the expansion. Are you a fan of the expansion without – I know that's a big part of it right there is if they're one of the best four teams, I feel like they should be in that mix. But I just want to get your take on that.
You know what? Jack Swarbrick said it best. He said, thank God that now nobody can cry that we'll have to play an extra game now. So it used to be that everyone cried that Notre Dame didn't play a conference championship game. So now without being a top four, you have to play an additional week. So if you are a Notre Dame alumnus and someone who's there, you go in there with the mindset because you don't play in a conference that every game is a national championship. So if it's 12 games, 13 games, 14 games, it don't matter. Just line them up and let's play.
Yeah, and I think the idea of expanding the playoff to 12 teams, obviously, in the FCS level, you guys have a true playoff. So I think if the FBS does expand to a 12-team playoff, I think it benefits everybody. I think it gives everybody a shot. Notre Dame, most years, they're going to be in the mix with a 12-team playoff to get in as an independent. You're going to have your five Power Five champions. And then for your East Carolinas, who we cover, it gives us a legitimate opportunity if the highest-ranked group of five champion automatically gets in if they expand to 12. So I think going to 12 would be much similar to what the FCS has and a much more fair playoff and better for everybody.
It will be, and it'll be very much what you it allows now for just the for a team to gel, right? We see it in the NFL every year where teams throughout the season, you know, they work out their kinks and now they can play well together and they gel at the end of the year as opposed to, you know, coming out hot and having one bad week and it cost you, you know, early. So everybody wants it. I'm glad to see that they are making that move, and it'll be fun. It's always good conversation, right? Then they'll be saying, how can they improve upon the 12? So just conversations. You know how that is.
Yeah. I won't get too excited until it's passed, Coach. It's still talking at this point, but God knows anything that makes sense, the NCAA tends to simply screw up.
I will not agree or disagree with that comment about the NCAA.
Well, Coach, obviously one of the things we're going to talk about is your ball club too, but the whole situation with NC State with COVID-19, I want to get your thoughts on as far as vaccinations. We can't tell the kids to say, hey, you got to get vaccinated. But at the same time, I felt really bad, and they're one of our rival schools, but I felt bad for Elliott Avent and those guys. They put a lot of time, effort, all the seniors, not to get to play in the College World Series. I realize it's baseball, but that could happen to any – whatever team, fill in the blank.
Yeah, that's hard. I think everybody shares the same sentiment, right? Because no matter what sport it is, you respect the process and the amount of time and sacrifice that goes into it. And so you never want to see anything like that happen. But very much what you alluded to earlier is that, I mean, you can't force anyone to do anything. And I think that as anything, you'll have certain teams, because it really is a team decision. It's individual, but you're still a part of a team. And I think that you'll have certain teams that will, and I just read some with Patrick Peterson talking about that, saying that, you know, some people are going to use that as an advantage, right? It is a competitive advantage to be fully vaccinated because you have the peace of mind and less worry, and you don't have this situation happening. So I think that it is what we say around here is we say it has to be coach fed, meaning we have to lead them and guide them and give them good stuff. Coach fed, player led. It's ultimately going to be a player decision because it is a player game. And you pray that you can build a culture strong enough or have leaders that are strong enough that can get guys to see the bigger picture, you know, for the good of the team, and you don't have that situation happen.
And a little inside scoop for you, Coach. Bubba, Coach Houston said publicly that we have 111 players vaccinated at this point. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's correct. He said at least 111 out of 126.
Oh, wow. That's good.
But, Coach, you talked about your path into coaching. You know, prior to getting the head job at Charleston Southern, and this is your third year in your current role, but you've been a running backs coach at your alma mater, Notre Dame, but then also USF, Miami of Ohio, Bethune-Cookman. Just talk about, that head coaching opportunity being extended to you by Jeff Barber, who's an East Carolina guy, someone we're very familiar with.
You know, I am very appreciative that Jeff was obedient, but the same reason I came here is the person who orchestrated this opportunity, and that's God. So I alluded to that, you know, I got into coaching because I accepted my call to go into ministry, and you named some really great places that I've been blessed to go to, including my alma mater, and contribute as a coach. But that was never the goal for me and my family. When we decided we were getting into coaching, we said as a family, because we were using it as ministry, that wherever God would send us, we would willingly go. And so the goal was never to be at Notre Dame. The goal was never to be at South Florida. The goal was to go wherever God was going to take us and then obediently serve where we were. And so God orchestrated this. I did without a doubt, though. There was no doubt in my mind that when we did make that move that a head coaching opportunity would be at that somewhere down the lines. And so while I'm appreciative to Jeff being obedient to God and Coach Holtz, because Coach Holtz also spoke to him about it. This is God's plan for my life. I'm very clear on that, to run what we consider over here football ministry, not a program, but a football ministry that does have an extremely, extremely important football component to it, because it's the platform on which we influence and win lives for Christ, mentor young men to graduate, to be leaders at home in their community, and then also win national championships. And that's not a slip of the tongue. That's multiple championships, just in case you were confused.
Coach, we're talking obviously about Jeff Barber being the AD. Talk about him. We like him a lot. We had him on the show a couple of years ago, a Greenville guy, but obviously there at Charleston Southern. Talk about him and your relationship with Jeff Barber.
You know what? It's interesting you said that, because as time moves on, me and Jeff have a really good working relationship. He does a really good job of just building things. I mean, it's in his past when he was at Liberty. I mean, he built that place up really well. And he's doing the same thing here. One of the things he told me, and you talking about speaking to his credibility, was when I interviewed, he said, "Hey, I don't like that scoreboard. We're going to change that thing." Before I ever played my first game here, we had a 800,000 plus video board sitting out there. Right now, we're changing the turf. He's already talking about expanding the stadium. So he is really good at going out and being able to do the things that he has the vision for. And so, man, I appreciate him giving me the resources I need to go out and compete.
Coach, you mentioned, you're a man of faith. You make that perfectly clear. And you mentioned how you don't call it a program, you call it a football ministry. How on the recruiting front, when you're going into kids' homes and you have that aspect and that approach to it, I would imagine that to most parents, that's got to be very comforting.
You know what? I would assume it is, but the thing that I feel like my biggest attribute is, and I'm just gonna always be me, right? And I think people feel the sincerity and the genuineness, and my faith is a part of that, a big part of it. But I just think that people appreciate you being just honest, open, and sincere. And so, you know, what's interesting about that is that, I always get these crazy looks, even when I was at Notre Dame, is that when I'm recruiting someone, I try to de-recruit them with the truth. I try to scare them off with the truth. And I make sure they know, because I'm a person that has extremely high expectations, not pacifying anybody. You aren't the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's just not what it is. So I feel we have an obligation as leaders to make sure we set very realistic expectations for these young people. And from a credibility standpoint, when they do show up on campus, the ones that do pick or have picked the institutions I've been at, the credibility is already established because they know exactly what they signed up for. So, I just think, again, people appreciate sincerity and just openness and honesty so that they can make a choice. Because at the end of the day, that's really what you're trying to give them, a choice to go to the best place for them.
Yeah, Coach Ruff used to say, Ruff and McNeil used to say, and he probably still does, but he used to say, real recognizes real.
Man, and that is a legend, man. The fact that you're doing an interview with me and you mentioned his name, I am, like, honored, because he is an absolute legend. That's a giant right there now.
Yeah, we love Coach Ruff. Wish he was still here.
Man, everybody loves him. I love him.
Speaking of someone that can go in the living room, when you had Coach Ruff and McNeil, he always talked about he had daughters, but still on the team he had sons. And when he could go in there and you could sit at the kitchen table with mom, you knew that he was going to take care of your son, no doubt about it. Let's talk about recruiting, Coach. I know that's been a tough period with COVID. You had the Zooms like you're doing right now with us. How has it been to be able to get on the recruiting trail and have some sense of normalcy now?
You know what's funny, man, is you could tell that I love tough, man. I mean, it's supposed to be that way. That presents us with more opportunities, right? So I tell you what, man, we adjusted, because that's what you have to do. We went deep in relationships, which is what we do, and we found a way to use technology to allow us to transcend geographical boundaries. Right now, I'm having more fun than I've ever had, though, because we're able to, since June 1st, we're able to have people on campus. We've been getting back at camps. Man, it's just one of those deals where I always enjoy, and I love being around people, but when you have something taken away from you, you just enjoy it that much more. And so I'm used to always squeezing every bit and every ounce of quality out of everything anyway. now I'm squeezing that thing and ringing it twice, just really enjoying some face-to-face time with recruits, their parents, and our families as well, you know. So just all of that stuff is good. I mean, they cut into me and my staff's family potlucks, right? We couldn't meet in person. So we're happy to be doing that stuff again.
Coach, we, you know, we talked about a little bit of everything, but the most obvious question, you know, when Charleston Southern rolls into Greenville week 4, what are the Pirates going to see? Well, I mean, what kind of football team do you have in terms of your style of offense, style of defense? What are the strengths and weaknesses of your team?
You know what, man? We really, really focus on the things that we need to do to get better, and that's what we really look at. But what we're always trying to do week in and week out is just be consistently consistent and, you know, and play really complementary football in all three phases of the game. Offensively, we are a spread team, but I am a running back at heart. So Coach Coster, our offensive coordinator, does a good job of pacifying me that every time he talks about the spread offense, he then adds on the caveat that we want to be the most physical spread offensive team in the country. Right. So he has to pacify the running back in me. I love that when he does that. On defense, we want to keep things simple, right? See ball, hit ball. We call it caveman football. See ball, hit ball. Wherever it is, you go sort it out. We find it physically and we'll sort it out later. And then we want our special teams to be special. Those are our elite guys who we call on them to get it done in one play, 4 to 6 seconds. And so, again, just complimentary football, but having fun. I think so often, man, we lose the joy of the sport within the competition. And it's been my experience as a player and as a coach, the more fun you're having, the harder you compete. And so that's who we try to be week in and week out. And we don't change it versus who we're playing. We just are always trying to love our guys to excellence in Christ so they can work through that standard and not to it.
Coach, this is a program, you know, anybody that has followed college football in the last couple years, and Jamie Chadwell, the job that he did at Charleston Southern back from 2013 to 2016 has certainly shown what can be accomplished there. So far in your first 2 years, 6-6, 2-2, just give us a glimpse on the offensive side of the ball. I know you have a veteran quarterback, Jack Chambers, 5'10", 180 pounds, and he's a dual threat.
You still talking or did it cut?
It should be you now, Coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just talk about your quarterback, Jack Chambers, and some of your offensive skill pieces.
You know, Jack's done a really good job of coming in and adjusting. They were clearly running a different offense when we got here, but he has thrived on us changing to that spread, you know, that physical spread offense. He's really thrived because he is a dual threat. He's still learning, and that's what's exciting because we feel like his best days are ahead of him. As far as you know, what I'm excited about, it really just is, I love to see our guys compete. I mean, I talked about everyone respects the process, right? And so it's so much that goes to it just to get to that Saturday is that I just always look forward to seeing those guys compete, you know, getting a chance to go out to play with each other, to, you know, have an additional shared experience with their brothers, with their coaches, and going out and making memories. So that's what I'm excited for more than anything.
Coach, one thing I had as far as the defensive side of the ball, I love defense. So talk about that. I know you said you keep it simple, but what about your guys on maybe the line or your linebackers, your DBs? Who's some guys that will stand out that Pirate fans would like to know about?
You know what? Everything starts up front. I mean, I don't care what offense or defense you run, it begins up front, right, with the big guys. And so on offense, obviously, it's the O-line. Well, on defense, it's the D-line. And so guys such as Chandre Mims, Nick Sally, Anton Williams, guys who have been around here playing football for a pretty, you know, pretty good amount of time. You just want to see those guys continue to develop. And a lot of their development is not just what they do individually, but how they affect and influence and make other guys around them better. And so we expect those guys to play hard, always play with heart, but also excited to see how they lead some of these younger guys to get them to, you know, step their game up as well.
And as far as special teams, can you talk about some guys, maybe your place kicker, punter? I mean, all that, like you said, the complementary football, all three parts of the game is very important.
Man, I love my specialists, and we got so much work to do, man. I I don't even know where to begin. We were not particularly well in the spring. And again, that's one of the benefits of playing opponents, because that could have got masked and taken into the fall. So didn't do a particularly good job. I know our specialists are taking that as a challenge. We've had some guys join us who weren't here that's going to help push from the competition standpoint. But when we line up, those guys will be ready to go. They have pride. And more importantly, they love their brothers, and they don't want to let them down. And so, we want special teams to be special. I figure Nate Toole has been around here. He was a young man that came in and actually set a record last year coming off the bench by replacing our other kicker and kicking the farthest field goal in history. So Nate's a very hard worker. You got Miller Braddock, who's a punter. And so we have a couple young men that have been around. We have some pieces that are going to push him. But at the end of the day, those guys are going to, again, they're going to step up when called upon, because they love their brothers and they don't want to let them down.
Coach, I had a question as far as the transfer portal. Has that actually helped you guys being an FCS? Does that help you when you have the transfer portal where you guys can pick up some guys maybe from Power 5 or Group of 5?
You know what? Not so much, because with the transfer portal, you also have the one-time transfer rule. So guys aren't transferring and coming down. They're transferring and going lateral. They're going from, one FBS to another FBS. So it has not. And I am not a particular guy that is looking in the portal. If I had my preference, I would try to grow it organically just because you got a chance to develop guys and really have them bought into your culture. So, when you start talking about transfers, there are a lot of good ones out there. But really, the biggest thing is, chemistry and fit, because that is important. You can have a lot of talent on paper, but if it doesn't play well together, they don't play well together, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, you mentioned the transfer portal with the new rule at the FBS level where you can transfer without sitting out a year. I think that's really going to change the dynamic for some FCS programs. Coach Houston, for example, came from James Madison, who took a lot of FBS transfers over the year. And it'll be interesting to see programs like that were upper echelon FCS schools that were used to getting FBS transfers, if they're not going to anymore as much, how that's going to affect their programs and recruiting going forward. And just to follow up to that, you mentioned wanting to win multiple national championships at Charleston Southern. When you take on East Carolina, you're taking on a guy, Mike Houston, who won a national championship at the FCS level. What are your thoughts with Coach Houston and his staff and his reputation, particularly at your level, the FCS level?
And obviously, James Madison is, who James Madison is, and he had a big part in doing that. So nothing but respect. I do not know him personally, but his resume speaks for himself. The good thing about Coach Houston is he is not a word about what I think of him. So he's not losing any sleep over that. But like I said, his resume speaks for itself, what he did at James Madison and what he's been able to do throughout his career. And that's why he's at ECU, right? Because they winning follows him. And so,
Coach, final thing I have for you. I mentioned earlier it'll be game 4 for the Pirates, September 25th, 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN+. And for you guys, it'll be your third game. You actually get your season underway 2 weeks prior on September 11th against the Citadel with that crosstown battle. So touch on that as we're winding this down.
I mean, at that point, in regards to, we would have had two opportunities to go out and play together. And obviously, whether it's 3 games or 4 games, man, we'll be ready to go, just as they will be too.
No doubt. Coach, I have one final question for you, the toughest question. Do you like barbecue? Because we have a lot of barbecue in Greenville, so we'll be glad to send some barbecue your way when you come there to Greenville on the 25th.
You know what's funny? So for the past now, it is going on 8 months, I've now been pescatarian, and so I am not eating anything but fish, and primarily it's fruits and veggies for me and a lot of salads. So I've always been funny about how I ate anyway in moderation, but I will, if it's plant-based, I will still eat barbecue sauce on it, but I don't know if they figured out how to do the barbecue thing pescatarian style yet.
Oh, barbecue shrimp.
There you go. Okay. I appreciate it, man. I'm there all day then on that now, all day.
Delicious. Grill the shrimp, barbecue sauce. Yeah, that's great.
There you go.
That works for me.
Coach, thank you so much. You spent a lot of time with us. It means a lot. And we're really happy to have you on. Love to have you back on sometime past the season, obviously. And good luck to you this summer. And look forward to, hopefully we meet you on September 25th.
Man, thank you, but thank you all so much, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah, just been fun hanging out, man. I thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks.
There you have Charleston Southern head coach Autry Denson. Appreciate Coach carving out a half hour for us to take a trip down memory lane, talking about his glory days with the Fighting Irish back in the mid to late 90s, and also obviously his Charleston Southern Bucks, who will be coming into Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium to face East Carolina on September 25th. Also, thanks to Tim Dowse. Really appreciate Coach Dowse coming on to talk East Carolina Pirate football as it pertains to special teams, defensive ends, and outside linebackers. Coach Dowse obviously has an excellent impression of Greenville and also Coach Houston, and really what East Carolina University and East Carolina football mean to Greenville and Eastern North Carolina. But that will do it for this show. We really appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to like and follow the show wherever you listen. Like and follow on Facebook. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ. Like and follow on Instagram at The Sports Objective. Also, give us a follow on TikTok. And on TikTok, we can be found just like on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ. You can listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you name it, you can probably find us there. Until next time, for Dave Richmond and Kyle Barber, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, and you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.